You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
It is great to be here. This is, folks, this is a tremendous honor for me, and I truly mean that with all of my heart, to be able to come and to speak to you tonight, because one of the reasons I haven't had the privilege to meet that many of you. I know a few of you, but I know Leland, and there's no one that I admire and respect and love as a brother in Christ as I do Leland. He's the real deal. And you guys are blessed beyond comprehension that you are able to have any affiliation with him and Linda. And I got busted last time for being here and not talking about what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. And like Leland said, the ladies have requested this lesson, so if it doesn't turn out any good, it's their fault. All right, let's just blame it on them. But I'm going to get right into it, guys, for time's sake tonight. And what I want to talk to you about is one of, let me say this, how do I say it? Not one of, but this is by no means the greatest passion I've ever had in my life, excluding my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and my relationship with my wife and my family. What I'm going to talk to you about tonight is the greatest passion I have ever had. And I'm going to talk to you about a dog I used to own. That didn't get a lot of amens, did it? Wouldn't expect that. Talking about a dog in the rec room or at church, you know. This guy was a special, special dog. I don't know if it's right for a person to love a dog as much as I love this dog. His name was Rowdy. He was a black Labrador retriever. He was often referred to by many names. My pastor over in Midland nicknamed him Rowdy, the gospel hound. And that was because I had him at church. Everywhere I went, Rowdy went. He was with me almost 24/7, unless there was some event going on and he just couldn't be there. But I had him at work with me. I had him, I even took him to football games. And I'd walk in, the security guard would tell me, "You're not supposed to have a dog here." I said, "Well, I've got special permission by the city to have him." Just lie like a dog. Or I'd put my sunglasses on and walk in and say, "Well, he's a CNI dog, you know." I'm not totally blind, but I'm getting there, you know, and we're training each other. And I'd get him up there and we'd sit and everybody would just have a blast watching old Rowdy. Took him to camp, did a lot of youth camps with him. Talked to a lot of kids, used him in our church, in the auditorium at our church. That's where I realized God's mercy and grace was great because Rowdy never had an accident on the church floor. And that was a great thing. Anyway, when Rowdy was a year and a half old, he was the first retriever I ever trained in my life. When he was a year and a half old, we won his HR title. That stands for Hunting Retriever title. A year later, we won his Hunting Retriever Championship title. Very hard to do, especially when you're as dumb as I was and didn't know what I was doing. I told Leland before the service started tonight, I said, you know, when I had Rowdy, I really thought that I was a great trainer because he was so exceptional. He was so fabulous and so fantastic. And I was arrogant enough to think that was my training that did it. Well, I've had two or three dogs since him. I promise you it wasn't my training. It was Rowdy. Let me tell you just a couple things that he would do for you to kind of get a feel of what this guy was all about. We, in these field trials, one of the things we would do is we'd have these blinds that were out there 150 to 200 yards. And when everything was ready, I'm in a blind with a judge. And these birds, these decoys or these birds would go out and shotguns would go off. Two over here, and two in our blind. And I'd send Rowdy to whichever one. And they would score him on how straight a line he went, the obstacles he'd go through. He'd get the object, the bird or whatever, and he'd come back. Then I'd send him to this one, and he'd have to go on a straight line. Then I would have to send him on a blind retrieve right in between them. It'd be 150 to 200 yards out here. He wouldn't see anything, wouldn't hear anything. I'd take a shotgun, and I would shoot. And then I'd give him a line, and I would send him. And he'd have to go straight according to the way that I sent him. Well, everybody's dogs were trained when they'd get out there at a certain distance, they'd blast a whistle, the dog would turn and sit and face them. Rowdy was so hooked in to me, when he'd get out there to a certain point where he knew it was about the point where he needed to break down to start hunting, before he would do that, he would automatically turn and look at me. And it was like he's looking at me like, okay, Pops, which way? I could give him an over right, an over left, a back. I could bring him back in to me, and I could just work him in all that. He was under such control, did such a good job. Folks, I have trained an awful lot of dogs in my life. Started when I was in the eighth grade. And I've been around a lot of great dogs. I've been to field trials all over the Southwest. I've seen a lot. I can honestly tell you, and it's not just because he was mine, because I've had two or three others, and my testimony is they were about as bad as you could get, that he was head and shoulders above any other dogs that he ever competed against. I was training Rowdy one day. And I was just feeling kind of melancholy. I was just kind of one of those special moments that I was having with the Lord. And it was like the thought was impressed on my heart very hard. And I know that God put this on my heart. Mark, I want you to be toward me just like that dog is towards you. I want you to be as faithful to me. I want you to love me. I want you to be as committed to me as Rowdy is towards you. So what I started doing is I started meditating and evaluating and really studying him. When we had these work days on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Back then it used to rain in West Texas. And we had some Playa Lakes in the area. And we'd go out, there'd be 15 or 20 of us and with trainers and their dogs. And we would go out and we'd have a work day where we'd train our dogs. And that was impressed on me that God wanted my faithfulness toward him like Rowdy was toward me. I started just evaluating him. In fact, sometimes I wouldn't even get him out of the dog box. I just started watching all the other dogs. And this is what was jumped out at me. This is what just screamed out to me that made the difference between him and all the rest of them. Because all the rest of them were good. I mean, they did a good job. They were obedient. They did the things that were required of them. But what separated Rowdy from all the rest, guys, was this. It was the object of his faith. And that was me. You look at me and you say, that wasn't much. I agree with you. It wasn't much. But Rowdy was committed to me like you cannot imagine. He loved me and was connected to me. We'd have judges. Many times I had judges that would say to me, you and that dog are connected at the heart. And we were. Like I said earlier, everywhere I went, he went. I could literally take a T-bone steak and he could be starving. And I could set that steak down in front of him. If he was here now, and this is one of the illustrations I would use actually in church, I could set it down, have it in pieces, and he'd just be gobbling it up. And I could put some more of it down there, and I could take off out of the church, and he would leave it and come with me. My wife won't do that. She's not here, so I can say that. In fact, she'd be glad I left. That way she could have all of it. When Rowdy was a puppy, one of the things that we did was I had a thing that was called a long line. And he's about 4.5, 5 months old. And I would take a choke collar and I'd put it on him. And I'd put this 20-foot leash on him. I'd snap that to him. And I'd go out to this field that was back behind our house and I'd pick out a square. A square that was a square to the left and a square to the right. And it's about 75 feet apart. And I would just begin to walk in a very military fashion straight ahead. With a lot of purpose and a lot of meaning where I'm going, what we're doing. Rowdy would look at me. I wouldn't say anything to him. I wouldn't make eye contact with him. I wouldn't pet him. I wouldn't do anything. I'd just start walking. And he would look at me like, I don't know what you're up to, but it doesn't look like much fun. And he'd take off over here. He's going to go investigate something until he got about 20 feet. And I popped him. Didn't look at him, just popped him. And I kept going. And I'd come and I'd stop, have the collar right here, the leash right here. And I'd wait till he got bored and he'd begin to meander off and leave. And I'd pop him and I'd turn and I'd go 75 feet this way. And I'd stop. And we'd repeat that whole process. Take about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I would do the same thing to the right. Rowdy learned in 2 or 3 days, guys, he learned the most important lesson that he would ever learn in his entire life. And that is, as long as I can get real close to my master, as long as I can get right up here next to him, and I can stay close to him, and when he turns right, I turn right, and when he turns left, I turn left, and when he stops, I stop, and when he goes, I go. When, as long as I can do that, there's a lot of security. There's a lot of purpose in life. There's a lot of safety and security, and life is good. But when I get out here and I'm doing my thing and I'm going my direction, pow! Life isn't too good. And guys, isn't that true in our life as well? How many times in our life have we said, I know where my master's going. I know what he wants me to do. But just this one time, I think I'm going left. I don't care if he goes right. And what happens? We could probably have every one of us give a testimony in here today that it becomes what's called a train wreck when that happens. Folks, I'm not even here. This is beyond even being Christian. This is just common sense. If we would just follow the Lord Jesus Christ and His commands and His ways, life would have purpose and it'd have meaning. And there'd be so much security. Listen to this. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, God will keep... Listen closely, folks. God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on God. Let me repeat that. God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on God. In other words, if he turns right, so do I. If he stops, I stop. I stay focused on him. And then in verse 4, says, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord, and he repeats it again, the Lord is the rock eternal. Guys, listen. Rowdy became a champion because I was his rock. It wasn't because I was such a great trainer. I wasn't. I made so many mistakes. I could tell you about them, but time won't allow us to. But I was Rowdy's rock. How much more that Rowdy became a great champion and a retriever champion because I was his rock, how much more could you and I truly become champions in this life if the Lord Jesus Christ this day would become every one of our rock that we depended on and we wouldn't deviate from that? I promise you on the authority of God's Word, it's a life-changing event when He becomes your rock. Proverbs 29:25 says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Folks, I want to tell you by testimony in my own life, I've been through the religion, I've been through all of it. But safety and purpose. Mark Twain said it best, I think. I don't quote him a whole lot, but he said it best. He said, the two greatest days of my life, number one was the day I was born and the other one was the day that I realized why. Did you get that? Here's the thing, guys. Following the Lord Jesus Christ gives all of us a purpose and a meaning in life. It gives us a joy in our life and a peace that passes all understanding. When Rowdy was a puppy, he had a tendency to be aggressive. This was kind of funny. I think they kind of take on the nature of their master sometime. And back then, I had a little bit of a ornery streak running through me. Now, I'm a saint and an angel now. But back then, I was a little bit ornery. And Rowdy kind of picked up on that, and he had a tendency to be real aggressive toward other dogs, not people, but other dogs. He'd get all anxious when a dog was coming up close to him when he's 6, 8, 10 months old. Unheard of with a black lab. Most black labs aren't aggressive toward other dogs, but he was, especially if I petted him. If I showed him any attention, he's jealous. He's going to eat him alive, you know. And he'd bristle up. He'd get aggressive. He'd get anxious. And so what I did is I realized as my goals became, I want this dog to be a champion someday, I realized that I'm going to have to do some things. We're going to have to stop this nonsense. He can't do this. So what I would do is I would get him and I would get between him and the object. I'd have somebody come up with their dog and he's all bristled up from his tail to his head. He's wanting to get him. And I would stop him and I'd make him look at me. Look in my eyes. And I taught him, I'd say, look. In fact, and it was funny because anywhere Rowdy was, if he could hear my voice, anywhere he was, I could holler, look, and he'd stop me. You could just feel him looking at me. But I would make him look at me. And if he started to look around my leg or started to growl or something, I'd go, and I'd pop him with the leash. I'd say, no, look. And if he kept it up, I would take my hand. Now, don't let me scare you. I didn't hurt him. But I'd take my hand and my fingers would represent his mother's teeth. And I'd put them right here on his throat. And I would take him to the ground. And I would hold him on the ground until he relaxed. Until he completely submitted. And when he submitted, I could tell because he's relaxed. And I'd literally say to him, I got this. I got it. Just calm down. I didn't remove the object. I had them come on closer. I had them come up to where their dog's 6 inches from him. And I go, I got it. I got it. Here was the reason why I had to do that, guys, is because I realized that if Rowdy's going to become a champion, he was going to have to learn the most important thing of his life, and that is that he could trust me to have the situation no matter what was going on. Let me ask you a question tonight. What's the cause of your anxiety? What's the cause of your fear? What are you afraid of? A lot of people are afraid of dying. A lot of people are afraid of living. A lot of people are just afraid. They're anxious. They bite. They growl. They want to get even. They want to make the wrongs right. They want to, you know, and if you'll stop and listen, maybe you can feel the Lord's hand on your neck. And He's saying, relax. I got this. I've got it. Trust me. Get off of yourself. I can handle it. You can't. You're going to make a mess of it. And you will make a mess of it. Amen? I mean, how many times have we done that? But the Lord, if we'll just let Him have control of our life, He can take care of it and He can handle it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 3, guys, listen carefully. It says, consider Him. Consider Him. Who endured such opposition from sinful men. Why? Why consider Him? Listen to the last part of this verse. So you will not grow weary and lose heart. You ever get to a point you don't think you can go on? Leland just talked about this young man that was to the point he was ready to give his life up. Just yesterday, he took a bullet from the police because he was tired of living. The Lord says, the Scripture says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. See, folks, we all have faith in something. Do you believe that? You say, Mark, I don't. I disagree with you. I know everybody here, including myself, has a mountain of faith. The question is not whether we have faith. The question is, what is the object of our faith? You came in, let me give you an illustration. Who came in here tonight and before you sat down, you were worried sick that chair you sat in was going to be able to hold you up? I'd be willing to say nobody even thought about the chair. We just flopped down in there. We knew it was going to hold us up because it's done it over and over and over again. Well, folks, I was the object of Rowdy's faith, and the Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to make Him the object of our faith. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on your religion. Don't fix your eyes on your successes. Don't fix your eyes on your failures. But fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Him. I wish I could tell you what God's will was for your life in all the areas of your life. I don't even know myself. I can't tell you. I can't tell you what job you ought to have or if you ought to buy that thing or whatever it is. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you 100%, it's God's will. It's the Creator of the universe's will that you trust Him, that you give Him your life. He can handle it. He's got it. He's got what? He's got your life. Revelation says that Jesus holds the keys to life. And if He holds the keys to life, He holds the keys to death as well. You remember Peter, he's in the boat, the wind's blowing, the storm's coming. The disciples see the Lord walking on the water and it scares them. And Peter cries out, he says, Lord, if that's really You, then call me to come to You. And he says, me, Peter, come on, boy. And he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water and everything's going great. Peter's eyes are fixed on the Lord. He's watching the Lord and he's honed in on Him. And he gets scared. He looks at the storm. He begins to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus Christ is a picture of His grace. He gets him and He puts him back in the boat. And He did. He saved him. I'm going to go ahead. I've got to cut this short. I was Rowdy 7.5 years old. And I had a little knot underneath his felt, underneath his throat. Very young, he's in his prime. We're having a blast. I mean, life is great. Took him by the vet, did a biopsy of this, sent it to A&M. 4 days later, it came back. He called me, my office across the street from the vet's office. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to the field. He said, stop by, I got your results. Stop by there and walk in and he looks at me and I could tell something's wrong. He said, Mark, Rowdy has lymphosarcoma. I said, that's a big word, somebody from New Mexico. What's that mean? He said, he has cancer of the lymphatic system. I said, uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. He said, no. I said, so what are we going to do about it? He said, you're going to bury him in about 3 months. I said, you kidding me? He said, I wish I was. He knew how much I love that dog and how much he loved me. So we're driving down the road and I start riding. I'm taking him down the big lake. We're both on the way down there as we were and I start riding. This is a poem I wrote about Rowdy. I said, thank you, Rowdy, for the contribution that you've so unselfishly made. You've blessed us with joy and love and memories that will never, ever fade. Your loyalty and enthusiasm has truly been a joy to behold, and the praise I have for you with words cannot be told. We've taught together and learned together and we've worked together and we've played, and whatever is asked of you, your faithfulness has always stayed. So the sun is setting for you, my friend, in the mid-years of your life. No more cold early morning hunts or claiming every female for your wife. That was the one sin I couldn't ever get him to break. We know that you are leaving now, but in our hearts you'll always stay, and maybe someday the Lord will turn around and say, Rowdy and Mark, the birds are waiting. You two go out and play. I cried for a week when I heard that news. It was a sad day in our life. But folks, this poem and this little quick short story about this dog, it doesn't hold a candle to that day when all of us are going to stand before our Master. Everybody who has simply trusted Him, just trusted Him, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him, when we will hear at that time, and folks, if there was anything, I don't have the words to be able to express this with enough power or emphasis of what a wonderful moment that's going to be when we hear the Master of the Universe look at us and say, "Enter into thy reward, thou just and faithful servant." It's going to be a great day. I want to challenge every one of you. Just trust Him. Let Him be the object of your faith. God bless you. Leland.
If you will, real quickly, just bow your head right quick. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'd be remiss if we didn't make available Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's so easy. I guess the thing that impressed me so much about Mark's story was the fact that just learning to trust Jesus Christ in our life. We say we do, but then we start conniving and planning and doing it our way. When the problems come, we fall apart. We act like God's dead. And through all of that, it's kind of embarrassing when we think, we tell people we have faith and we live like we don't have any. First, let me ask you, do you know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? If something were to happen to you today, you know that it's settled between you and Him. And as Mark said, He'd welcome you home. If you don't know that, I want to pray for you right quickly. And heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. And you'd like to be prayed for. You say, "I've never trusted Christ, my Savior." Would you just slip up your hand real quick before we pray? God bless you. I see your hand, sir. Anyone else? Real quickly before we pray. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone? Real quickly. All right. Our precious Heavenly Father, we pray for those that lifted their hand. Father, we pray that tonight, this very night, they put their faith and trust in Jesus. They just simply say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me to pay for my sins, and I trust you to be my Savior." Also, maybe you're here tonight and you're God's child, but would there be enough evidence to convict you of that? Do we fall apart? Do we say, "Why did this happen to me?" Or do we have somebody we can turn to in the darkest of hours and say, "I know my Redeemer liveth"? Can you do that? If not, in a moment, I want you to come and kneel at this altar and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I need to get back right with you. I'm a miserable Christian." And Christians can be some of the most miserable people. You say, "I'm sorry. I want to do it right." As David prayed after he'd sinned, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Not his salvation. It's God's salvation. And he said, "I need the joy. I've lost the joy." If you've lost that, why don't you come and get it? Let's stand at our feet while heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. And as Charles begins to sing, I want you to come. I'm going to pray right now. And when I finish praying,
I need you every
our Father, just 1 second, Charles. Let me get, I'm sorry. I'll get you wrong. Let me pray real quickly. Our Father, you've seen these that we're talking to. And Father, you know the hearts. And we just pray that in the next few minutes, eternal decisions will be made that will glorify you. We know eternal decisions will be made. We just pray they'll be made for your glory. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now come. God wants you to do right now, real quickly. Come on.
Like yours can be so full. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to stay, Lord, near my temptations lose their power.
Now's the time.
When you're near by, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, oh, bless me.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.